My name's Anne. I'm a compulsive overeater. And as I said at the beginning, I've been in this program a while and I am grateful for the invitation. Thank you, Anne, for inviting me. It took us a little time to get this scheduled, but I'm really honored to be here. So, what was I like? What happened and what I'm like now? Oh, let me ask, do we talk, share food or no food in this meeting?
You can share anything you like, whatever is
Okay.
part of your experience, strength, and
Okay.
hope.
So I think I was born a compulsive overeater, or it sure felt that way to me. And so from a very young age, food was a very important part of my life. And the two things that I often share about, oh yeah, you're one of us, is one, going to the store. I must have been about 8 years old, riding my bike there and buying 21 candy bars. Seven of one, seven of another, and seven of another. And they were all in a brown bag, and I brought them home and shoved them under my bed. So that was the first time I remember going out to buy food to feed my compulsion. The other thing I used to do on a regular basis is when no one was in the house, I would get the first three ingredients of Toll House cookies and just mix them up in a cup and then eat it in front of the television. So this, how do I get sugar and fat into my system was really what I wanted. And so, as a little kid who couldn't really drive to the store frequently, those were the things that I had access to feed my disease early on. My family also has a lot of addiction in it. And so, when I was in my early 20s, we decided we were going to help the other people. I don't know if anybody of you have ever done that, but we're going to fix the other people in our family. So we all went into family recovery counseling. And that was the first time I got to look at myself. And a requirement was that you had to attend one 12-step meeting a week, go to group and personal counseling. And I knew I was a compulsive overeater. That was never a problem. I struggled with my weight, went up and down 20 pounds frequently, always on a diet or thinking about the next diet, but that wasn't what I felt safe going to in my 12 steps. So I hung out in Al-Anon for 6 months. And then in my group that I had to go to, I swear it was my HP, brought a woman who I liked. I don't know how to explain it. It was too scary for me to walk into an OA meeting. And I just want to say to all the newcomers in this room, you're the most important people in the room by far. It's the scary part of walking into the first meeting, but it was this woman who came to my counseling group and I was like, she seems normal. And she went to OA. So I was like, oh, I can go. I never saw her at another meeting. I never saw her at a meeting. She was my little angel that said it was okay to walk in. And what I heard the first meeting was, I can't eat cakes, cookies, ice cream. That's what I heard. No one said that. That's what I heard because my disease was going, what are you doing here? This isn't a good place for us. I want you to keep eating. Eventually, I figured out that I needed to get a sponsor, start working the steps, and all of that slowly started to change my life. And if you're feeling lost and confused right now, that's a normal feeling when you walk into a program. They handed me a thing called gray sheet back in the day when they would hand you what you were supposed to eat. It was very much like a Weight Watchers diet. And I did that for a while. But what I heard in one of my early meetings was three meals a day and nothing in between. And that was just an easy way for me to start thinking about what abstinence is. I now say my abstinence is three meals a day, life in between, and no refined sugars. I consume sugar, but I don't have the sugars that come at the end of the meal, the ones that are all sugar, and it's like you're just opening your veins and doing something. I don't have those kind anymore. And that's been true, except for a couple of times in the 30 some years. I just don't eat any of those dessert things anymore. And it helps keep my crazy mind clear. It just helps keep it clear. So I can choose to go through my life and I don't have to worry about what I just ate. I don't obsess about what I'm going to eat. I don't have to have shame about everything I've already eaten. And I don't have to connive about where's my next fix coming from. All of that chatter is gone. Gone. That's what this program promises, that we will be relieved of the bondage of this crazy obsessive thought. And then we don't have to be enslaved to food anymore. We just don't. And we can choose to put it down. But the first thing you get to do is figure out what your compulsive foods are. And they're not all the same for everybody. And what I was told early on was find your red, green, and yellow foods. The ones, greens are the ones that you can eat anytime and they don't cause you any trouble. Yellow depends on what your spiritual fitness is. If you're in a good place with God, you might be able to have a yellow on occasion. Red foods are the ones that if you have one, you're going to have 20 or 100. And we, most of us, know what those red foods are. Once you figure them out and you put them on the no list, life gets a lot easier. You don't have to do that perfectly right now. I remember bargaining with my sponsor when I went on vacation, because vacation meant food. That's what it meant. And so I committed to her that I could have 3 desserts on my week-long vacation. And I could still come back abstinence, because that's what I committed to. And I remember eating that dessert thinking, what am I doing? It didn't fulfill me like I thought it would, because it always had in the past. And eventually I said, oh, I don't need to do that on vacation. I don't need to have that little thing in my back pocket to make vacation fun. So I gave that up. And so the food moving forward, and this all happened. Oh, I should tell you, in my highest weight, I probably got up to 215, 20, somewhere in there. And I'm 5'9". I now weigh 147. So there's a big gap. Most of the time it's, I have felt healthy at my body weight most of the time. I came into program at a low weight for me at that time. And so I didn't have to come in and lose weight. I had to deal with what was up here. That was the part that was driving me crazy. I could lose the weight because I was in my 20s. Most of us could lose the weight in the 20s. But dealing with my mind and my obsession, that was a whole different thing. And the big book says we have an allergy of the body and obsession of the mind, that that's what our addiction is. And so the idea that I truly have an allergy to certain foods, that if I don't put them in my body, it doesn't start the craziness in my mind. And so when you're just thinking about, if you're a newcomer, what is my abstinence? Give yourself some time. And if you find something that, oh my gosh, it just starts this little chatter, or you eat one and you think, oh, I did okay. And then the next day you eat it again, or 2 days later, and it just starts to cycle and then you can't get off of it, consider putting that on your red list. So the other thing that I want to share is that OA is all over the world. When I got into program, I then went back east, found a sponsor. I had done my fourth step, but hadn't given away my fifth step. And I met this wonderful woman who received my fifth step. And then I never saw her again. The gift of people who just come into your life and grace you with recovery is amazing. I also learned in this program that I could actually have relationships. I met my husband shortly after doing my fourth step. And it helped me have a sense that I was not this hurt, defective person, because somehow in me, I was a broken person and food was a way of just sort of sedating that. And so anyway, my life got much fuller. And I also moved to Scotland for a while and found OA there. And the 3 meetings in the entire country, there were 4 meetings, and 3 of them were in Edinburgh, which is where I was. And we made a point of going to different parts of the country just to share our experience, strength, and hope to try to carry the message. And it's wonderful to know that OA will find you and you can find it wherever you need to go. So I want to also say, this week, a sponsee said to me, she was telling me a story about things that was going, she had a sort of a revelation and she sort of started to cry. And I was like, well, put words to your tears, as she was sharing this with me. And as she did, she was just sort of revealing more. And I said, it was all about her recovery at that moment. And I said, it sounds like you're having a spiritual awakening. And she sort of stopped for a minute. And she said, huh, maybe I am. And I said, well, you might want to write about that. And write about what does that mean to you. And so we got off the phone and she did. And I'll share with you something I then sent to her from the For Today. Because spiritual awakenings, they talk about it in the big book, because this is a spiritual program. Yes, we can eat the whatever we decide are on our, you know, our food plan that is between you and God. But we need the support that one of the people talked about. It's the support in between. And the one source of that support is HP that is there all the time. For me, I was raised in the church and it was a big part of my life. But being able to define my own higher power, my own God, was huge. It wasn't what somebody told me. It was my God of my own understanding. And then to think that God cared about my food, that just stopped me cold. No one ever said that in church. No one ever said, oh, God cares about what you put in your mouth, Anne. I was like, what? And that was a revelation. And then all of a sudden, what had been just sort of something that was part of my life, then the 12 steps helped me implement that in a new way, because it gave me a direction and things to work on in how to have a spiritual experience. I want to read from you from the big book, as we talk about, we are a sister program to AA, and this is from page 356 in the big book. And it says, a spiritual experience to me meant attending meetings and seeing a group of people all there for the purpose of helping each other. Hearing the 12 steps and the 12 traditions read at a meeting, and hearing the Lord's Prayer, which in an AA meeting has such great meaning. Thy will be done, not mine. A spiritual awakening soon came to mean trying each day to be a little more thoughtful, more considerate, a little more courteous to those with whom I came in contact. So there's a lot of different ways of thinking about what that is, the spiritual experience. But I just wanted to say that it is helpful to think about, because it's one of those things that I think we gloss over because we don't know how to talk about it. The other thing I'm really grateful it says is sometimes it happens quickly and sometimes it happens slowly. That's what this program talks about. It doesn't, you may never have the lightning bolt from the sky. You may never have that moment, but your ability to open yourself up to a power greater than yourself, which helps you stay abstinent, is a remarkable thing and part of this process. And so since we do have lots of people here, I sent to, after my sponsee talked to me about her spiritual experience. If you don't have this book, For Today is a great reader from the program. And it also has an index in the back that talks about different topics. And so when I thought about that, I read through all of them that talked about spiritual experiences. And this is from December 13th. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. John Newton. Nothing could better describe what so many of us in OA feel than the words of amazing grace. For us, however, the experience is not a religious, but a spiritual one. Whatever your religious beliefs or non-beliefs, spiritual recovery is felt as a profound inner change, a dissolving of the attitudes and opinions that kept us chained to our compulsion. Spiritual awakening heals us of self-willed blindness to the truth about ourselves and our condition. We are no longer wandering alone and lost. We are found. For today, that people so deep in the clutches of compulsive illness can recover is truly evidence of amazing grace. That's my share.